Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rianne Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. It always feels good saying that. It always has a nice ring to it. Hope everybody's had a fantastic week. Hope you are ready for the weekend. Hopefully this gets you ready for that. Fran, how are you doing on this lovely Thursday afternoon while we're recording?
Pretty good. Another snow day in New York. It is snowing here. We've gotten a lot of snow here. The weather has been crazy. I mean, we've seen everything that's been going on in Texas too. So for all of our Texas listeners, we hope you guys are safe and doing okay, because some of the stories coming out of Texas are crazy. We hope that you guys are okay and have the resources that you need. But for me, it's just another apartment day, another one of those days.
I'm thinking about doing shrooms tomorrow.
Whoa.
That's where my head is at. Well, it's Thursday, so it would be Friday on a Friday.
Yeah.
I am like, why not? You know, I feel like we talked about this a while ago where I was like, I really want to do it. Don't know when the right time is. Then it kind of seemed like it was never the right time. I might just say, fuck it and do it. Let's just have a ride.
In your apartment?
In a apartment. Yes. Possibly mine.
Yeah. I just feel like in an enclosed space like that, I'd go crazy.
No, but microdose. I'm not like going to go full all out with the shrooms, but I hear if you microdose it, then you just are like happy and you know, when
microdose kind of sounds just like an edible almost.
Right. But I feel like it may be better than an edible. I have eaten a very, very tiny amount of shrooms once upon a time, and I felt very happy. I was so happy. So I feel like I'm just looking for that same type of thing. Also, why not? You know, Friday energy on a Friday.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I hope you know, when are you going to make that decision?
I decided.
Okay.
I said. I might, because I didn't want to scare everybody, but I am.
Okay. Decision has been made.
This might be the last podcast, everyone.
No, never. Come on.
No, and also, don't scare everyone.
This is the 250th podcast, so congratulations to us on that. And also, we just reached 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. So if you are subscribed to the YouTube, thank you very much for your support. All of our podcasts are on YouTube. Waving right now to the people who are watching on YouTube.
Hey.
I talk about this all the time, but I love watching podcasts on YouTube. I think it's actually funny how we've gone full circle. People started off on YouTube, then they went to podcasts, and now they're just putting their podcasts on YouTube. And it's almost like everybody has their own little talk show. You know, people would watch like all the Jimmys, you know, there's so many of them and their talk shows. And now people have it set up and have these great studios where everybody, you know, a podcast is kind of like a talk show, but when you have the whole setup, it looks even more like one when
also,
you have guests.
I feel like you said it before, but like that we're working on a new studio. I feel like if anyone has any like good ideas for cool things to put up, like send them in.
Yeah, Noah's really stuck on this.
Meanwhile,
I'm not worried. I'm just trying to make it look good. And we have a plan, but like if maybe we're missing something, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we are. Somebody out there, I'm sure, has a better idea than we do. A lot of creative minds out there. But yeah, thank you for subscribing. And if you're watching right now on YouTube, click that subscribe button. It goes a long way. Let's get to 100K next, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. That would be cool. Hopefully we can meet when we can get that by the end of the year. I feel like YouTube subscribers grow really slow.
Yeah, we want
I want a plaque so bad.
Fran, I want to address something.
Glasses.
Would you say we're friends?
Yeah.
People constantly think we aren't friends anymore. every single day I get people asking me if we're still friends, and now I just answer and say no, sorry, no,
yeah,
friendship over,
no longer friends. I just talk like, to her what? Every single day, do like, 3 episodes a week. Every, go on trips, hang out with our families.
We talk every second of the day. Like, I just, people don't get that. Like, it's almost like how I feel about Hank in the sense where I live with him and I work with him. So I don't feel the need to post him all the time because I don't even think about it because it's so natural to me to be with him.
Right.
So like for you, I talk to you like every second of the day and we're always like doing something together where it's just like so natural to us now that it's like,
well, yeah, now we're like old friends.
Yeah. It's like we've put in the work of like, we have this 4-year friendship now that it's like, we're old pals. Like it's just the same old thing with us every day.
Yeah. I think it's because people have been along with us since the beginning of the friendship, and friendships change, friendships evolve. And we have gotten to the point where like, we are not, you don't physically see us all the time together, but we are still in constant communication. And I feel like because Barstool has grown so much too, as a company, like it was just you and me, and we were doing so much stuff together, but now there's so many other people and there's so many different projects and so many different things we can do. And we do work with other amazing people and we do other amazing content with those people. And so like, it makes people nervous. Like, it's like, wow. It's like, we only can be able to do stuff. We can only do stuff together, but we can still do our stuff together and do other stuff.
That's what I'm saying. And I have to write back to some people sometimes, like, am I only allowed to have one friend? Are you only allowing me one friend? Because this seems a little nuts. And I did the Chicago reality TV snake draft the other day. And that was when somebody really tweeted like something, they were getting mad at something I did. And then they were also like, and also, are you and friends still friends? And then somebody replied and said, I have an inside scoop at Barstool and they are not. And then the girl replied being like, no, why? What happened? And I was like, are you fucking joking? No. If you listen to Chicks in the Office, why are you going to believe a random person on Twitter that we're no longer friends? So now I just like to tell people no. Nah. Yeah.
Nah. It's also like we are open with each other. And I think that if you listen to this podcast, if we weren't getting along, you would be able to tell. Like,
right. But that's what the people are like, oh, when I listen to the podcast, like something feels off. And it's like, what do you mean something feels off? The entire world is off.
You guys should before we record, they're just yelling at each other. And then they just, I'm going to release all the tapes.
Noah's like, I have
fuck
all the
you,
footage.
Bitch. Yeah. No, but people like the chemistry is just off. Like you could tell they're getting sick of each other. And it's like the entire world is off right now. You want to know why we sound that way? It's because we can't do anything. It's fucking snowing outside. We're in New York City. We're locked in our apartments like animals in cages. Like we can't. It's the same old, same old.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's and we crazy still hang because, out, but
yeah, No, but it's true. I think everybody's mental state has kind of taken a hit over the last year, and that translates into your relationships. That doesn't mean that we are not friends,
but also some of the stuff that I would say to you wouldn't be for the podcast, right? So, like, yes, like when you say like a lot of people's mental states are not great right now, like I'm not going to be constantly saying that on the podcast, but I'll text you my problems all day long.
Right, of course. Oh man, it's silly to me.
Anyways,
I can't imagine
you.
How we couldn't. Yeah,
I'm done with you.
Not today, Satan.
Speaking of mental state, I have been in a fabulous one, though, I will say.
Good.
I feel like for a little while, I would talk about how my mental state was pretty poor. But I looked at my calendar, and it's been 3 weeks since I've had a panic attack. And I think that's great.
That could be a record.
No, for real. They were happening quite frequently, multiple times a week for like months.
Yeah.
Haven't had one. Feeling good. Feeling good.
I love that. Are you guys playing with like the same toy right now? Just
I'm not even playing with a toy.
Oh, what was that pink thing?
My slipper.
Oh, those are it's your foot. Okay, it's your slipper. It's like a ball. Noah has a ball in his hand, and I was like, "Do you guys both have the same thing?"
One of those like stress things.
Yeah, yeah. No, those things are great.
Yeah, love you need those things. You need one of those. Oh, what do I got right here? I'm sitting. If you're this is the thing right now. If you're listening to this via podcast form, you're probably like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on." But if you're watching on YouTube, you're like, "This is great visuals."
Yeah.
Should I light the cigar up right now?
Rhea's sitting at Hank's desk.
You should. That would be so funny.
I'm gonna light the cigar right now.
Have you ever smoked? You had a cigar? Yeah. Have you ever had a cigar?
Fran, of course.
I love cigars.
You know my family.
Fran, do you smoke cigars?
I have never smoked
cigars. But I feel like you would, like you don't inhale it, so it's like it's easy.
No. I feel like
my dad used to smoke cigars all the time and then stopped. Like when it got to the age where like I could take a puff of a cigar, like he no longer smoked cigars. Like they're, if they were in my house or around, but nobody in my family really smokes them.
It's one fun year, like for a festive thing.
Yeah. Something trashy as fuck. My mom, who's obviously a sweet angel. And honestly, if you saw her, you would never think that she was a smoker. She used to smoke mini cigars instead of cigarettes, but like they were cigarettes. Now that's trash.
Like inhaling the smoke.
Mini cigars.
I don't. Hold on.
No, because that's not. She's saying like she would just go through them like cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I mean, like that would technically like it's healthier. You're not inhaling it.
I don't know if that's
no. It is. Like it is. Your lungs aren't.
It I feel like this is like
we're on Joe Rogan right now.
Yeah. Let's not get our YouTube taken down.
Oh, there's nothing illegal about cigars.
No, I'm just because it visually wise, who knows what that could be.
This looks unreal. Wait. I'm definitely going to get like a call from my apartment. Like there's smoke emanating from your apartment.
Oh,
is that a Cuban cigar?
Is it Hank's?
Yeah. What if he was saving that for a big?
Yeah. Occasion? What if Hank was saving that for a special day?
He wasn't. All right, ladies and gentlemen,
let's get into the topics.
Let's get into the topics. Oh fuck! I gotta put this shit out, but that was fun. Yeah. You can't see the smoke, but I swear. No. It's coming.
Not a major hit if I've ever seen one.
No, that wasn't good for the lungs. Okay.
You know how sometimes that the smoke, like the smell is just ingrained in your brain? Like I just watch that and I can smell it. Like I know that I can't, but I feel like I can't.
Hank's going to come home and be like, why is there a lit cigar on my desk?
Yeah.
I had a long day, babes.
Have you ever smoked a cigar and then like felt really nauseous? Like if you like smoke it the wrong way, you feel terrible. Like
I've only maybe a little dizzy but never truly nauseous.
Oh no, there, yeah.
Fran has never smoked a cigarette.
I can't tell you
there was one time
I've never smoked
like,
a cigar
hours,
or smoked
like,
a cigarette.
Thought I was gonna throw up.
Actually, Fran, wrong.
Yeah,
you have smoked a cigar because I once made you smoke a backwoods blunt and you did not like
true.
It at all, and that would be technically
I hate that.
Yeah,
I did hate that. But it wasn't purely a
cigar, but it was makings of one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to hold it in my hand as a prop. Looks nice. No, people, cut that out of the YouTube. That is going to be a bad clip to have. Full cigar in mouth. Okay, let's get into the topics. We got Demi Lovato's trailer for her new documentary that's coming out on YouTube called Dancing with the Devil. Kendall Jenner is releasing a new tequila brand and she made it Instagram official with Devin Booker. Claire and Dale have been spotted all over Florida together. And we give a recap of Firefly Lane that was on Netflix. So if you watch that show, listen to the recap. If you're going to watch it, then don't listen to that part because there will be spoilers. And we have a very exciting interview that people are going to love. Abigail Cowan from Fate, the Winx Saga on Netflix joins the show. She plays Bloom. So if you love that show, you're going to love this interview as well. So let's get into it, starting off with the Demi Lovato trailer. Released a new trailer for her new documentary on YouTube called Dancing with the Devil. It seems like we are going to get an inside look into Demi's life and specifically her drug addiction and her overdose that happened a few years back. What actually happened, we saw a lot of things be revealed in that trailer already. So I think that this documentary is going to be mind-blowing. She talked about having strokes. She talks about having heart attacks, talked about being 10 minutes away from dying. And a lot of people are in it. A lot of her friends, a lot of people that worked with her, Elton John, Christina Aguilera, I saw make appearances. So this documentary is going to be insane.
It looks incredible. It was instant chills watching this. One, because there's a track playing behind the trailer that sounds like potentially, you know, a new song. She's singing Dancing with the Devil. Like, I'm assuming it's going to be a song called Dancing with the Devil as well, potentially. But she, it looks like she is giving us an absolute inside look. No holding back, no nothing. She's letting it all out. She's talking about everything. Not only did she speak about the overdose and, you know, she said three strokes, a heart attack, like you said, Rhea, so close to death. Her friends are in it. And it's like, oh, see, there's clips of her friends being like, oh, we're really talking about this, huh? Like we're talking about heroin. And even there's one clip of Demi too, that was like, I'm just going to say everything and then we can take stuff out if we want to after. Like, we're putting it all out there. It's gonna be really, really intense, but really, I think it's gonna be really fantastic. Demi is such a talent, and she's gonna share this story. It also seems like it documents the engagement and the non-engagement. Like, it seems like this is kind of going on. They've filmed up to like a very current point, because there was like a clip of her being like, I'm engaged. And then there was one of her being like, not engaged. So we're really getting into everything.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be one of, if not the most interesting documentary we see from a celebrity. I think it will be the most honest. I think a lot of times when we hear about celebrities' addiction issues and other things that they have been through, some details are left out. Obviously, I get that. You're protecting your private life. Not everything needs to be shared. But Demi, I think, wants to share everything. And I think it's to help people. I think it's going to be a great deal of help to people who admire Demi Lovato and go through the same thing as Demi Lovato, and they see how honest and open she is about it, how she comes back from it. It seems like she even said it. She's like a cat. She's had so many lives and so many times it could have been the end, and it just wasn't. And also just the mention of heroin, because I feel like heroin is a drug that it's such a touchy subject. People will talk about their coke problems and their pill addictions, and then heroin kind of gets left out of the conversation, whereas she had a heroin addiction, and a lot of people deal with that in their families as well.
So I feel like
that will be very, very interesting to see what is said, how it all started, how she first dabbled with that, you know, like It's always interesting to find out how people first get on to heroin. A lot of times you hear people get addicted to pain pills, and then heroin is like that next step after the pain pills, because it's cheaper and gives you that same feeling. Or it's celebrities who, you know, have just gone down a really bad path, surround themselves with bad people who have a lot of access to anything and everything. When you're Demi Lovato, you can get anything you want to you. You want heroin? It's going to take you 1 second to find it, you know? So I feel like these are a lot of things we're going to learn about people. And I think also we've seen it with a lot of, I go back to like Motley Crue, but they all had, you know, heroin addictions, and they all made it. They all somehow, if you read the book about them and read about it, they all very well could have died at any point.
Yeah.
But somehow they all made it through and they're sober, but then they're not really sober. They're sober from heroin and hard drugs, but they still drink a little bit. They smoke weed a little bit, whatever it may be. I feel like we will, by the way, I say whatever it may be all the time now. I just realized that. I think we are going to learn more about Demi Lovato and if she is truly sober. I feel like they left a little cliffhanger with that in the trailer. They said, are you sober? And there was kind of a pause. So we'll see if it's, you know, what level of sober is it? And just everything about, I'm so intrigued by Demi Lovato because I feel like there are many people in her position that have gone through the same thing, but aren't as completely honest. And that's
totally,
and that's fine. No, but I'm not saying everybody has to share everything, but I think for instance, Justin Bieber, his documentary and his Facebook show and all of that, I was expecting a lot more, and maybe there isn't a lot more. And it really was what he gave us, but I was expecting a little more in depth to what had been alluded about him. And now what has been alluded about Demi Lovato, it's true. Like, she's like, yes, this is all it and more. Like, you don't even really know all of it, but I'm going to tell you all of it. So I really think it's a great thing that Demi Lovato is doing this. And I love Demi Lovato. I really admire her.
Yeah. Like you said, she's showing us the lead up to that overdose. There's clips of her partying and everything that they have on camera. It seems like she's putting out there. And, you know, we hear so much of the story of celebrities and drug use and drug abuse after so many years after the fact, you know, like they put out a book or they put out a documentary or they're talking about it years down the road. This is all happening in Demi's life now. This is Demi sharing her life now as a woman in her 20s dealing with these problems, which I don't think we see a lot of. Like, we don't see that as much as we see maybe men discussing it or older men discussing it or just older people discussing it. Like, Demi is a woman in her 20s who is exposing her life to everything that she's been through and being a celebrity at such a young age and what she had to hide and what she didn't hide. And it seems like she's really just going to lay it all out on the table for everyone to just digest, I guess, which is great because I feel like, I hope for her, this is her way of being like, you know what? Here it all is. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not keeping anything secret. Now I'm going to continue to live my life and you can be with me, you can be against me, but I'm putting it all out there and then I'm moving on and doing the best thing for me.
Yeah, it's almost like getting a clean slate because there is so much speculation on what has happened with Demi Lovato. And if she just puts everything out there, then it's like, okay, you know that all about Demi Lovato. We can move on from that. And once again, it is like a thing that you are comfortable with. It's Demi Lovato is comfortable with releasing everything about herself. Some are not.
Demi is sharing it all. And I'm very excited to watch this. It's going to be really something. I think it's going to be really great. Just a great thing for her. I think the documentary itself is going to be great. So we'll definitely be watching that when it comes out. So we will be seeing that on YouTube for the premiere March 23rd. Can't wait. Oh, yeah.
about Kendall Jenner. She is releasing a new tequila brand called 818. It has three different kinds of tequilas. It's been in the works for a while. People have been wondering which Kardashian Jenner was going to be the one to make the tequila. It's Kendall. And in the same thing, we'll just throw it in there with Kendall news. She uploaded a picture on her Instagram story of her and Devin Booker on Valentine's Day, making it Instagram official. I feel like every Kardashian or Jenner has their own brand of some sort. Like Kylie has the makeup and the skin, and Kim has Skims and her makeup, and Khloe has Good American, and Kourtney has Poosh. And it's always been like, what is Kendall's thing going to be?
Right.
And it's tequila.
Yeah. She said this is something she's been working on for a few years now. You know, she's 25. So she'd said that she's been working on it for, you know, like the last 4 years. So I guess since she was 21, she posted a bunch on Instagram about it. It's called 818 after, you know, the area code Calabasas. And Kendall, yeah, it's, we kind of knew that this was coming. I feel like there were a lot of hints that someone was creating a tequila company within this family. And of course, it's getting a lot of press. Anything Kendall does is going to explode. Now, I did see, you know, there's a Diet Prada post. Pop Crave had posted on Twitter as well that people are upset about Kendall creating a tequila company, talking about kind of the connection with Mexican culture and tequila, and Kendall taking that and making her own tequila. We can have that conversation. However, you got to talk about every celebrity's tequila if we want, you know, because Kendall is one of many celebrities now to come out with a tequila company, and this stuff, people are getting upset now over Kendall's tequila. We want to talk about celebrity tequilas and that connection, sure, but like Kendall, you should talk about Kendall with all these men that have made, like George Clooney and Randy Gerber made a bajillion dollars when they sold Casamigos. Like that was their tequila. You know, Nick Jonas has his tequila, obviously.
The Adam Rock.
Adam Levine has tequila. The Everyone Rock has tequila. The Breaking Bad guys, they have tequila.
Everyone's got an alcohol brand of some sort, including tequila. So this is the first time I'm seeing any sort of backlash on that. And that may be our bad that we're not paying close enough attention, but I truly have never seen somebody get mad at somebody making a tequila before it was, it was Kendall. And I think a lot of times,
and Kendall gets criticized a lot.
That's the thing. Kendall Jenner gets criticized a lot. The Kardashians get criticized a lot when they do something, everybody's going after them. You know, they automatically make assumptions that Kendall Jenner must not be treating the people in that community where she made the tequila right. Like a lot of assumptions are being made, and we haven't seen this same energy for other fucking people who have made tequila. So
yeah. I, like I said, so mega celebrities who have their own tequila companies. We just named a bunch of like massive A-list, you know, and just so many celebrities have alcohol brands. We know that this is what Kendall felt passionate about making.
Loves it's kind tequila.
Of, it's, yeah, it's interesting because she didn't kind of go into the lifestyle world or the clothes, makeup, that kind of thing. She is doing tequila. I think she, you know, she did. People were Josh. Oh my God, Fran. Act your age. I can't believe I was about to say people were joshing her.
Oh
my God.
I seriously like I even caught that and was like,
I stopped myself. Cause I was like, you're not about to say
this. I literally said to myself, Rhea, you're 23 years old. You got to get out of here. When she's saying joshing, you can't.
I'm friend.
Okay. I'm sorry guys. Yeah.
Joshing.
Yeah, people are joshing her about how she was drinking.
I usually love your mom ways, but joshing is where I cross the line.
I don't even say that.
You don't.
That's not something that I normally say.
Where does that
say.
Even come from?
Be yourself, friend.
I don't know. I don't know why it just popped into my head to say that, you know, people were joshing her about. About, you know, she posted the video of her drinking the tequila. She had ice. Everyone was like, you're not even supposed to drink tequila with ice.
But everyone has something to say about the way people do things. If somebody wants to drink tequila with ice, let them fucking drink tequila with ice. I don't get it.
You're not supposed to drink wine. You're not supposed to drink wine with ice. Occasionally I throw a cube in my white wine. I'm not going to lie.
Same. And also a lot of people drink like tequila on the rocks, like tequila on just ice. I don't get it.
It's an argument about the purest form.
Whatever. I don't care
about tequila.
I don't care about that.
But yeah, Kendall's got 818 and she's found love. I feel like a lot of people didn't know about her and Devin Booker, but like this has been going on for a while. They've definitely been together for a while now. And it's interesting to me because Kendall shares some things, but then she's so hesitant to share other things. And like, this is kind of what you were saying before, Rhea, just post it. Just tell us. Like she posts a picture of her and Devin Booker on Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day. Everybody's posting their significant other. And then she shared a post, or she posted, I don't know if she shared it or she posted it herself. Louis Vuitton sent a gift and it was a little, looked like a traveling case situation. And on the band, it said KJ and DB. So everyone was like, okay, Kendall Jenner, Devin Booker. She deleted it. Like, what's the point of deleting that? Because you don't want people to know that his initials are on there?
I don't know. She also made the text of his name super small and white to blend in with his shirt. It's like
so you can't click it.
Like
we know who it is.
We know who it is. Everyone can just go to his Instagram. I don't know. I want to try her tequila though. I really want to try it. I feel like it's going to be hard to get your hands on it, but I want to try it.
It won't live up to Villa One, I can tell you that. I'll just get ahead of that now.
Yeah, I mean,
we have too many memories with Nick Jonas.
Right.
Too many memes.
When you drink Villa One with the creator of Villa One, it doesn't get better than that. We're not going to be drinking 818 with the creator of 818. We're going to be drinking 818 in our apartments alone. So it's going to have a different feel to it.
Definitely will. But this is Kendall's new venture.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Where in the world are Claire and Dale? They're apparently in Florida. Not quite sure what's going on, but they are definitely together. There's been some top-notch sleuthing going on in Bachelor Nation. If you didn't think that... If you're in Bachelor Nation as a contestant, is what I mean, let me tell you, you're not going to get away with jack shit, because Claire and Dale, first we saw pictures of them, they're crossing the street in Florida. These people saw them together. And then they were in the nail salon, or looked like Dale was in the nail salon. Dale posted from the nail salon. And when you listen with sound, you can hear Claire's little giggle in the back. Claire has a very distinct giggle. You know that that's Claire's giggle when you hear it. And then they posted from a restaurant. Dale posted the meat. Claire posted the pasta. But both of them forgot that the asparagus was in the middle of the table. And guess what? Same asparagus. They posted the same asparagus. I think they deleted the post too. But it's like the damage is done. We've seen it. You're together. So it looks like they've been spending the last few days together in Florida.
I do not care about Claire and Dale. I really fucking don't. And everyone just keeps, Oh my God, Claire and Dale responded together. They are not gonna last. They already broke up. It lasted a fucking month or whatever it was. It was probably longer than that. They were engaged. And that was that. Mm-mm-mm. Now they're back running around. Listen to me, and listen to me very clear, people. If you think Claire and Dale are going to be together and last, you're so fucking wrong. And that's just a gut instinct.
Yeah.
That's a gut instinct. I'm not hearing great things about either of them. And I don't think it's going to end well once again.
Yeah. The pictures definitely had everyone freaking out. The conspiracies in the Bachelor world go so deep where it's like, oh, Claire and Dale got together to take away from the scandals happening on the Bachelor. Like, it's like, I don't know if we need to, if we're going that deep. Claire and Dale got together. They're talking, they're hanging out. Who knows what's happening between them, but it's just funny because these couples really can't get away with anything without being seen. The same goes for Peter and Kelly. You know, they're both in New York right now and they're doing the same thing. You know, Kelly posted from a restaurant. She tagged the restaurant she was at. People saw that Peter posted Dustin on his story, and Dustin was behind a very distinct work of art. People Googled the restaurant that Kelly posted. Guess what's there? The piece of art that was on the wall behind Dustin. So it's like, okay, all three of them are clearly together in this restaurant. It's crazy. You can't get away with anything. You want to post, you can't post. They're setting themselves up every time they post when they're in the same place.
Why do people even care about these couples? Like, I get it because it's, everything, The Bachelor and Bachelorette, you want to see the drama, you want to see what happens with these couples, but like Claire and Dale and Kelly and Peter, like, come on.
Kelly and Peter,
let's have higher standards. Like, let's not care about Claire and Dale and Kelly and Peter. And I know people are going to, and of course, when you guys are all texting it about it in our Bachelor group chat, I'm scrolling through, I'm looking what's going on. Yeah. Whoa. Claire and Dale. But at the same time, like, people really invest their energy into these two couples way too much, in my opinion. Like, there are other couples out there that I get where I'm like ASAP Rocky and Rihanna. I'm like, that couple I need to know about.
But I think it's because, like, we all invested like months of our lives like with these people, and now it's like you kind of just have to see it through.
Yeah. Yes. That's a good point. You do want to see it through. You do want to see what happens, but you see it through to a certain point, right? Like, after Claire and Dale broke up the first time, That's when I wiped my hands with Claire and Dale. After Kelly and Peter broke up the first time, that's when I wiped my hands with Kelly and Peter. Now these two, they're hanging out. That's what couples do. They break up and then sometimes they'll hang out a little bit after to see, did we make the right choice? And you know what usually happens? They end up breaking up again.
I'm still very involved in Claire and Dale. I just am fascinated. That's one that I'm like, okay, now, like, I'm following along. I'm subscribing and seeing what's happening. Peter and Kelly, I've reached the point where I'm like, you know what? I feel like we should just leave them alone and let them figure out what they want to do. Like, let's let them live their life, see if they're compatible, if they want to get back together. And if not, then they don't. It's just like they're in New York now. They're trying to live they're a different life, maybe doing different things. So it's like, okay, maybe they work it out, maybe they don't, but definitely, yeah, I think, and maybe it's just time-wise, you know, a lot more time has passed with Peter and Kelly that I'm just like, you know what, let's let these two kids live their lives. And right. Claire and Dale, I'm still too invested in at this point.
If some crazy shit comes out about Claire and Dale, then I will be invested. Like, if there's some good drama that comes out about the two of them, then my ears will perk up. But just seeing them together,
right?
I'm like, eh.
Right. They're talking. They're talking. That's all. Right. That's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
All right. While everyone's here, I'm just gonna give a little, just a little.
Aww.
Cute.
Norman is sleeping like directly under Rhea's feet.
Just wanted to give the viewers of YouTube a little view.
Very sweet. The little cutie. I know, I tried to, just in case, there, just for the people just listening, that there wasn't just an awkward, hey guys, got something to show you.
Silence.
It's very cute Norman at Rhea's feet. We both watched Firefly Lane, latest show on Netflix. All the people are talking. It's Katherine Heigl, you know, back on TV. I can't get over this. I'm trying to do this intro, but Norman is straight up asleep on Rhea's chest. It's so cute.
This is the type of exclusive content that you'll see on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's very soothing. If you want a calming visual, This is definitely it. Okay. Firefly Lane blew up. Now, I think that I enjoyed the show. It is a book, a Kristen Hanna novel, and she's fantastic. I have read The Nightingale. I read The Great Alone. Amazing books. I have not read Firefly Lane. But it's weird because I think a lot of people are talking about it and a lot of people liked it. Critics didn't like it. I looked up a couple of reviews. Boy, some people freaking hated it. But I thought it was cute and enjoyable, and the ending left me wanting a little more. But that's okay.
Yeah, I did not know exactly how I was going to feel about it. I started it expecting to shut it off within the first episode. I don't know why. I was like, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to love this show. I ended up watching it in a day. I loved it. I really was locked into it. I think that they did a great job showing the time lapses. They would go from when they were kids to when they were young adults, to them in the starting off in their jobs, then to present day, and present day meaning 2003, because somehow they revealed at the end of the show that this all took place in 2003, which was just odd. Like, I thought it took place now, but that's besides the point.
What, they didn't reveal that at the end of the show? We knew that from early on. They said the year it was.
Oh, okay. Well, then I must have missed that. I saw that at the end of the show. And she had a BlackBerry the whole time, so that makes sense.
Yeah. She was like, hey, we have a very exclusive giveaway. It was a Motorola Razr.
Right. That was a misstep by me. But
yeah.
I very much enjoyed it. I thought all the actors and actresses in it were great. I thought Katherine Heigl did a really good job. I feel like she has been trying to make her way back ever since she's just been slammed. Like, people just assumed Katherine Heigl was a huge bitch after the Grey's Anatomy thing. And then, you know, the reputation that she got on sets of movies people would talk about. And so I thought she did a really great job. I hated the ending. And I feel like the ending did us dirty. I thought that these two were going to have a great, loving relationship, friendship for the rest of their lives. And yet now Tully does something wrong, which my assumption is that she slept with Johnny. I feel like she had sex with Johnny when they were at the studio, the day where, I think it was Johnny's last day, and she had just done the miscarriage episode and they were drinking together. I feel like they slept together that night and they didn't show it, and that's going to come out later on. I don't think Johnny died. I think people got confused when they said Bud's funeral. Bud is actually Kate's dad. So that's whose funeral it was, not Johnny's funeral. So I feel like they left us on the worst cliffhanger imaginable. Like, how was that allowed?
Yeah, it was a big cliffhanger. And it's hard. It's really hard because when you have shows that are based off books, people expect it to translate, like be the same story. I haven't read the book. I'm going to read the book. However, I did look up. I'm going to read the book anyway, even though I just needed to know what happened. Like, I finished the show and was like, I got to know what happened in the book and why people are pissed. Because, like, people are like, the book's so different than the show. I gotta know why. I'm not going to say what the difference is, because for those that maybe want to read the book, or the thing is like, if you know what happens in the book, it could potentially spoil a second, this what happens in the second season. Like, if that makes sense. Like, the book gives you a fuller picture of the story. And if you just watch the TV show, then you're left on like a big cliffhanger that you kind of could know what happens if you, or you could know what happens if you read the book. But that's if they stick to that storyline. They could change it. They could make it something else. And so from the viewpoint of the people who love the book, I can totally understand why maybe you didn't like the show, because just from me reading like the differences, I was like, well, geez, they changed like major points. points.
Yeah. Somebody messaged me like huge details about the difference between the book and the show. And it just seemed like the show was totally different than the book, totally different show, a totally different story. Right. So I would imagine that the second season and what happens is going to be totally different than what they had in the book anyway, because nothing, they didn't stick to the script at all. Everything was so different that I would imagine this is going to be different. I did think it was really good though. I really enjoyed it. I feel like it was a great story about friendship, but also had some, I was sobbing. The miscarriage storyline obviously was very, very sad. And a lot of tears.
You know when I cried the most?
What? The dog.
You know when I cried the most? The dog.
Yeah, the dog.
Oh, I was bawling. You can't give me the putting down the 14-year-old golden retriever. Oh my, Noah didn't even watch. He just hears me say that. Nope. I was sobbing like a goddamn baby.
That just makes me think of Marley and Me.
A movie I have never seen and refuse to watch for that reason alone. I was absolutely sobbing, but I really
covering Norman's ears.
Yeah, don't let him hear this. But I did like the time hops. I don't think the time hops another thing that I don't think happens in the book, but they did it pretty seamlessly. I saw people complaining saying it was like jumbled, but I felt like they connected a lot of the like past storylines, like connected into the older storylines. And it made sense. Now, anytime you have older women playing their younger version of themselves, it can be kind of cheesy. You know, the 80s version of Kate and Tully, you're like, okay, obviously these are the same actors. They give them that whole like airbrush treatment. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? Why wouldn't you have I get why you wouldn't have it. Katherine Heigl and Sarah Charles are the stars of the show, so you want them in it more. But the younger version, the teenage version of Kate and Tully, like that visual makes more sense to me with them being like in their early to mid 20s than it does the older actors playing down. Like, I'm like, well, why wouldn't you have those play that timeline? And then obviously the older ones play like current time when they're 43, but I get it. They're the stars. They're the main reason to watch a show. So you give them more content, more role, more lines.
That was a huge problem within the show. And not just that, the mom Cloud,
right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tully's mother.
Yeah.
When they made her older,
terrible.
It was disturbing. It was,
she looked like a witch.
Disturbing. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. Why wouldn't they cast an older woman to play this role?
Yeah.
It was scary. It was just straight up scary. The makeup was so poorly done that I literally had to turn on iCarly after, because I was so scared by what her mom looked like as an older woman that I had to put on something that would make me feel less scared.
Yeah, it was tough. They definitely could have just gotten an older actress to take over for the older version of Cloud. They instead made a woman who I believe that actress is like in her late 30s, and she's beautiful. And they made this beautiful woman into this old. It was hard because like she looks so young that it did not translate, like the older version of her did not translate, because it just looked like makeup. Like, it looked like bad costume setup. Like, it looked like you were looking at a woman playing the witch in like Snow White. Like, you know, like it looked like she was dressed up to play the role of an old lady, not actually look like an old lady. So yeah, that definitely didn't work. There was a lot of very cheesy moments. I really just want the best for Kate and Johnny. Like, I just need that to work.
I just don't think Kate and Johnny, I don't think Johnny is all in on Kate, and I don't think he ever has been. I think that Johnny wanted
Tully. That's
true.
That's definitely how they showed it.
I think Johnny wanted Tully and settled for Kate. And then...
Oh, really?
No, I know. It sounds crazy, but that's how they portrayed it. It seemed like Tully cut things off with Johnny, and then he started pursuing Kate. It wasn't until Tully cut things off with Johnny that he started pursuing Kate. But then, yes, of course, he liked Kate. He married Kate. He had a kid with Kate. But I feel like that feeling has stayed with him forever, that crush on Tully that he's had.
Maybe. I just thought it was such a beautiful moment when, you know, at the end when Kate had that little revelation, she ran to the door, opened it, he was already there. The thing was the buildup, it was like I was getting frustrated. Like by the time we got to the 9th episode, I was like, can they just freaking show us when John, like, because they just kept skipping over the moment when Johnny, and obviously for a reason, I know they didn't show it till the end, of Johnny and Kate first get in together, when they like when they first hooked up and they first realized they were going to be a couple, because we saw the pregnancy early on, we skipped back and forth, they waited till the end to show it to us, which definitely kept you interested. Like I kept hitting next on every episode because I was like, all right, I gotta see when Kate and Johnny first connected, because like you said, you're confused. It's like, does he like Tully? Does he not like Tully? Is he gonna hook up with Tully? And then is he going to stay or leave? But they had a good opening moment. Like when their relationship first started, it happened there at the end. Also, Rhea, wait, did you realize that the guy that plays Travis is the guy from She's the Man?
No, I don't think I realized that.
The guy that plays Travis, Kate's whatever, boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, is the, screw you guys, I hate high school, guy from She's the Man.
No, I didn't realize that. Yeah, yep. I didn't realize that. I did not realize that.
It took me a while.
Wow, I love that. Good for him.
I know. It took me a while and a couple episodes in, but then I was like, this guy looks too familiar. And then I was like, oh my God, it's Toby from She's the Man. And immediately, every time he came onto the screen, I would just keep thinking like, screw you guys, I hate high school.
And then just picturing him making out with Eunice.
Yeah. Just, oh, Eunice. yeah. The whole time.
Yeah. Overall, it was a good show. I would
recommend
watching it. I think that we both very much enjoyed it, but just be prepared for the ending.
Definitely. It was.
Well, no, if you listen to this, then you watched it.
Yeah. It was a totally
thing. And then be like, oh, I need to watch it now. We just spoiled everything.
Yeah. It was definitely a good, cheesy, like soapy show that I liked. It reminded me, if you watch Sweet Magnolias, it reminded me a lot of Sweet Magnolias in a little bit of a more dramatic sense. Like Sweet Magnolias was a little more cookie cutter in a very sweet way. Loved Sweet Magnolias. And this, I felt like, kind of had similar vibes, but dealt with a little more like real issues, real problems, real life problems that you don't normally see. The young actors were fantastic. The girls that played young Kate and young Tully were really, really good.
I was obsessed with them. I was stalking their Instagrams after, obviously, they're good friends, which I love to see. And it seemed like this was like their first big roles, which is always awesome. I love seeing the first things that actors do. And I can imagine that they're going to have great careers after this because they both played great parts.
Yeah, they really did a good job. So, yeah, all in all, definitely definitely recommend. It's a quick, like, you'll fly through it. We both watched it so fast. It's one of those shows that when you're watching, you're so invested in, you're like, oh my God, I gotta find out what happens. I need to know what happens next. And then when you finish it all after episode 10, you're like, was that actually good? Or
right, like,
you know, like,
wait a second.
Right, when you're watching it, you're like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this. And then it's over and you're like, was that really as good as I thought it was on episode 4? Like,
it probably is not, but if it hooks you in and you watch all the episodes, then that's a good show.
Totally. Very much enjoyed it and hoping for a season 2. And we'll see if any of the book connections happen in the second season.
I mean, imagine they just didn't give us a season 2 and that's just how the show ended. It would be very The Society-esque. But,
it would be, but they'll do it.
Worse. Like, it would be even worse never knowing what the fuck Tully did wrong.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I thought they were showing up to her funeral at the end.
I thought Tully was dead for right. sure.
And I thought, I was like, okay, that's a way to wrap up the show. I'll take it. I've never seen that before. Nope.
Yeah. It sucks because I really want to talk to you about how the book ends, but I don't want to potentially ruin
something after that
happens in season 2.
If people want to see that, they'll look it up.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm not going to say on the podcast because that could potentially like ruin the entire second season. So right. I don't want, like, if you don't want to read the book and have no interest in reading the book and solely want to watch the show, then you can just ignore everything that I'm saying.
Everyone, we are here with a special guest, Abigail Cowan from Netflix's Fate the Winx saga. If you listen to the show, then you know how much we loved this show. We both watched it within a day. She plays Bloom. Welcome to the show, Abigail.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're super excited. We binged Fate so fast. Like, it would, granted, not too many episodes, but it went so fast and we loved it so much. We recapped the whole show on our podcast. We talked about it. So we're so excited to talk to you about the show. How have you been doing? How has the response been? Because I feel like it kind of blew up overnight. All of a sudden it was number one, the trending show on Netflix.
Yeah, it literally was overnight. It was crazy. I mean, I woke up to like a phone call from one of my really good friends, or actually like 5 phone calls because I was sleeping and I was like declining it in my sleep. And I woke up and he was like, go turn on the TV. It's number one. Like, this is crazy. It's been crazy. I mean, the response has been amazing. And I mean, as an actor who's poured so much into, you know, a project, just seeing a response like that is, I mean, you can't ask for anything else or anything more. I mean, it's a really special feeling. But also it hasn't really felt any, you know, you're sitting like in front of your computer, you're not like out and about. So it just kind of feels like not real. I don't know. It's a weird time.
Yeah.
Right. It's like if it was normal times and you were out and about, people would be coming up to you on the street like, oh my God, it's Bloom. And so it's kind of like you're
not about that, but
they would. And you're dealing with it like in the internet, social media world and on the computer and the TV. And I'm sure like your social media is probably blowing up from it. Right.
Yeah. That's probably been the one part where I've seen it kind of change.
Yeah, I didn't see the original number, but now you're like almost at 2 million Instagram followers. So I feel like, do you feel any pressure now? Because, you know, I think it's like, Instagram can be so fun, but now it's like, well, now do you change what you're doing? Cause there's so many followers, because your posts, you're very open with your Instagram. Like, you're very funny. I feel like you post like your family videos. Like, it's not just all, you know, glamour shots all the time. Right.
I'm not changing anything. No.
Yeah.
I probably should. I don't really know. Like, I think about that too. Of like, is this the time to like try to be all, you know, make your brand or like do your, you know, be professional on there? But I'm like, you know, screw it. I don't know. I'd rather just post stuff that I want to post and like stuff that I think is funny. And like, if people don't want to see it, then they can unfollow me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's really important because exactly what you said, like, I feel like I was actually having this conversation last night with a friend, and I feel like it's so common now. Like, everyone is, we're all always on our phones and we're living through a screen and seeing other people's lives. Like, you're not supposed to see into people's lives all the time. That's just not healthy. And like, on top of it, people are pretending. They're putting like, post your glamour shots, 100%. You do you, feel you. But like, if it's like all the time, like, look at where I am, look at what I'm doing, my life is perfect, I never cry, I never anything. Like, I feel like it's it can be toxic for especially young people to look at and like aspire to be, to have a certain life that's not even real. So I mean, right. I do feel like it's, to answer your question, I think that was your question. I think,
yeah.
Or I just went on a tangent, but
yeah, no,
you're right. I agree with everything you said, because it's just like not believable when you see people like here and there, and every day they're in a dress or a skirt, right, and heels, and you're like, you do that every day? It seems like a lot of work. Yeah. Where what you're saying is like, you're going to post what you think is funny and people are going to love that. People enjoy, and I know for myself, following people way more when they're just themselves. You see them on a show, you find their Instagram, and then you realize on their Instagram, you figure out their personality apart from your character on the show, which I think is great. And speaking of your character on the show, how did you get involved with this show and how did you land the role of Bloom?
So I was filming for Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I was up in Vancouver. Actually, I was on my way up, I think. But I got the script and I went on the audition and I read the script and I fell in love. I just really loved the whole element of five female leads that are just badasses and I always love a magical element to things. So I really connected with it. And then I went into the audition room right before my flight to Vancouver. So I had this, like, I was going to be gone for, I think, like 3 months. So I had this giant suitcase and I just kind of stumbled into the audition room because I was Ubering to my audition and then to the airport. So it was so awkward. I like went in and everyone was just like silently sitting there and I wanted to explain myself, but I couldn't because people were getting into character and stuff. And so I was convinced I would never be invited back because I caused a scene. And I think people literally thought that I was bringing a prop, like Bloom arriving to Alfea. Like, so that was my first audition. And then I was clearly shocked to be invited back. I think I went for two more auditions, and then my last audition I did through, it was in the room, but I did it with Skype or through Skype with our director and then our showrunner Ryan, and and then I found out I think 3 days later, and then had to fly out to Ireland 2 weeks after.
That is awesome. And I feel like every single story about somebody landing their role, and lately it's Netflix, and they're like, I went into the audition and I totally messed it up and I thought nobody would call me back and I screwed up the entire audition and then I got it. And it's always just like a feel good story.
Yeah, it's I feel like it's when you let it go, I think, at least as an actor, when you just are like, Or maybe it's just like the law of attraction, or I don't know if that is the law of attraction, or just the, you know, like when you let something go,
you like manifest it and then you let it go. And then apparently then it comes back to you.
It comes back.
The whole thing, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know much about it, but the idea, you know, the idea of like, I think that is a pattern for sure with a lot of people with getting roles. They're like, yeah, I didn't think I would get it. Or I kind of just was let it go, whatever. But I think that's definitely what happened. I walked out of that audition room going, okay, well, I'm never going to put it back there again. So I think I don't know.
Yeah, that makes it so much better. And you were said right off the bat, you were on the plane just a few days later to film in Ireland. So you guys, did you film this whole show in Ireland? How was that? Like, what was the set like?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was so beautiful. Yeah, we did. We filmed all of it in Ireland for 3 or 4 months straight. It was freezing because it was in the winter time. So that was a lot. I'm from Florida. So I've like seen snow twice in my life too. So I like rarely ever went in cold weather. But yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It was the most beautiful scenery, the most amazing locations. We filmed in like when we would be on location outside of the studio, it was just like these rolling hills and green, like, oh my gosh, it was, I miss it. It's the most beautiful country ever.
I would love to go to Ireland. That sounds amazing. I would love to go anywhere. Filming, like you did Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which must have been awesome. But this show, you're the star. This is your show. I mean, obviously there are many other parts, but like you are the star of the show. And for it to be like, you're going to Ireland, you're filming the whole thing there, must have been such a surreal, awesome feeling.
It was like, well, it didn't feel real, first off. Like, it was everything I feel like I could have asked for in life. Like, it was the weirdest, I don't know, like a dream moment. Because it's, I mean, I had always dreamt of, I had this thing growing up and still for some reason, but it's just weird. But like, I always want to run through a big green field. It was always my like dream in life. And it had to be like the perfect green field. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to go to Ireland because I knew they had great grain fields and I wanted to run through it. And so when I found out, I was like, oh my God, this is my moment to run through so many grain fields.
Did you do it?
I did. I literally have like a video compilation of me running through like every field on set. It was amazing.
Let's go.
Yeah. It was, and on top of it, to be able to like do what you love in the most beautiful environment and just with amazing people, and I don't know. It never feels like work for me, but it's just like a crazy, feeling. It's amazing.
How did the cast get along? Like, did you know any of your other castmates before you got out to Ireland, or was it like you guys all met in Ireland?
We met in Ireland. Yeah. Wow. It was crazy. I remember on my flight, I got a picture because they were already there. They had been there for like a few days. I was the last to arrive, but I remember I think I still have this photo, but like them, they sent a picture, the four girls sent to me, and they're like, can't wait to meet you. And it eased my nerves so much, like coming into a new environment. And it was just, honestly, it was like the minute we met, we just hit it off, and it was like we had known each other forever. It was just a weird kind of a meant to be moment, I feel like, because it's not always you get that kind of chemistry within a cast.
Right. Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, you're all in Ireland, you got this awesome show. So the vibes are just right. It's like, we're just destined to become best friends at this point.
It's true. No, it is. We were all just like in a dream. We felt like we were in a dream world, just like all living life. It was great. Yeah. And they're amazing. They're just awesome girls. Truly. The whole cast. I mean, amazing people.
Filming the scenes where you're obviously, you know, you're a fire fairy, your hands, it's like fire raises from them, but not in real life. It's all edited in. I hate to break it to everybody if you thought that fire was really being released from Abigail's hands. How do you channel that? Because watching you right? You believe it's real. You see this. You're like, oh my God, she's making it happen. How do you channel that to make it so believable and feel it when it's not in front of you?
That's a good question. I think it's probably, I mean, we worked with a movement coach beforehand. All of us, we had a woman come in and she kind of helped us hone in like what we wanted to do specifically for our character. And my decision was more like, because I kind of had to come up with what I was like, what am I going to do? Like snap my finger and have it happen? Or is it going to like, I knew that I needed it in my hands, but like, you know, certain people have a certain movement for what they wanted to do. And I think I just decided that it would come more from, as weird as it sounds, like from my chest and like the breathing. I wanted really to, you know, because when you are basically, her power comes from emotion. And in this case, a lot of the time in first few episodes, it's anger. And when you are angry, you know, your heart races or your breathing starts. Like, so I think that's probably what I kind of did. And this woman really helped me with that, like teaching me the breath work and like the different types of breathing, I guess. Yeah. Like intense breathing. And it's crazy because you get really lightheaded too. I forgot about that.
Like in the middle of the scene, you're like, oh, whoa.
Yeah. The powers are coming to me.
Yeah.
The powers, it's happening.
That's very funny. And I feel like while you were filming, did you get to see what the finished product would kind of look like? Or did you have to wait until like everything was done? And then you're like, well, fingers crossed, like my flame wings looked good.
Literally, that's what I had to do. I had no idea what it was going to look like none. And I remember like just like begging to see something. And it was a little secret, which I'm happy for now because it was such a great surprise. But yeah, for sure. I didn't know. I just imagined like, okay, there's going to be fire here. I don't know what the wings are going to look like. I don't even, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah, well, it all looks sick, honestly. Like the whole production of it was super cool. If you had to choose a power in your real life, you, Abigail, what do you think it would be?
I would say, which I don't know if this is even in the, I mean, it wasn't in the first, well, I guess maybe Stella could kind of do that because she, I would say teleportation, but maybe then it would be like Stella's powers because she can, like you can transform light, so you can like transform where you are. I don't know if she can like do that kind of stuff, but yeah, teleportation because of work and stuff. So I don't have to like be gone for so long and without saying
travel.
So I, yeah,
get on a plane. Like, that all nonsense. Snap, you're just in another place.
I think that would be amazing.
That would be a dream.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun to watch the reaction to the show because I think so many people too have been like, well, like what kind of fairy would you be? Everyone's like trying to name their friends. I know Rhea and I had the discussion of like, well, what kind of fairy would you be? Like, and we kind of had to like debate about it. So it's fun. It's like a whole different world. I've seen like the living in the magical world is awesome. I think that's why so many people, love the show too, is that kind of magic element. And you have, I feel like a lot of these shows you've done on Netflix have had a good magical element to it. Sabrina, I know you were also on Stranger Things. Like, so like there is these kind of scary, I don't know, like do you love the magic in all of these shows that you've been doing?
I do. I mean, God, yeah, I guess I have been in a lot of them.
Yeah.
Do you have superpowers that you're withholding from us?
What's going on here? Like, yeah. I think it's honestly like, I think just the magical element. I mean, there's no, as a creative, you want to be able to use your imagination as much as you can. You want to be able to be put in those like, I don't know, situations. And I think that I'm drawn to those types of projects because I'm allowed to do whatever. And just, I'm surprised at every script that I get. You know, it's not really predictable. Anything can happen. There are no limits. Like, I think that's probably the main reason I've been drawn to them, I would say. And I just love, I mean, I have a huge imagination. So it's like you get to, I mean, especially, I mean, as an actor, you get to do this, but especially on a magical kind of fantastical project, you get to use your imagination to its full extent. I mean, it's so fun. I love it. You get to play for a living, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just like a big child.
Right, because yeah. in some shows, well, shows that don't involve magic or sci-fi or whatever, you're playing pretend to a certain extent, but they're like real people. In this case, it's like so far out of the ordinary that you really just get to take everything inside of you, like you said, all of your creative ability, and just throw it into this project.
Yeah, truly. And I think that a lot of, you know, different projects require different things from you as an actor. And yeah, if you are playing a real life person in a real life scenario, that takes a different, you know, route to go, creatively. But with these types of projects, I mean, it's, you have to also kind of balance the human element with the magical yeah. element, and you get to, at least that's what I found with playing Bloom. I got to do both, and it was really, I mean, that's really fun to play a real life teenager. And then, because she is going through real life situations and real life emotions. And I feel like Brian, our writer and showrunner, did such a good job of portraying that in the writing for these girls, showing the good, the bad, the ugly, showing the things that real teenagers go through, and the emotions and the ups and the downs and the insecurities and the romance and the friendships and the betrayals. And I think being able to balance that while also being able to do magical stuff is, I mean, it's awesome.
Right, because it's like, you know, we can't relate to the magical stuff as much as we want to, but there are so many elements to the show that you can relate to, like you said, the friendships, the love stories, the family aspect, you know, Bloom and her parents. It's something that people go through in their real life. So it's like, when you watch that, or like a young girl watches it, and she can just fully dive in and be like, you know what, I'm struggling with my parents, but also maybe I have a superpower. So it's like the best of both worlds.
She tries to like set stuff on fire.
And she's like, maybe I'm just a fire fairy.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see what happens.
Finally makes sense.
Yeah. What is it like working with Netflix now? Because, you know, you've done a few shows under your belt with Netflix. And I feel like once you get into the Netflix family, it opens up so many other doors for other series and movies. So how are you enjoying that?
I mean, it's awesome. I love Netflix. I mean, they've been so wonderful to work with for the past, I mean, gosh, 3-4 years now. I mean, they're the greatest. I love them. So I would love to stay in the family. I would love to, and it really is like a family. You know, you end up meeting a lot of different people from Netflix, and, you know, different people get assigned to different shows, and everyone that they do hire to are, they're just wonderful humans. And I think that for me is a really important aspect to, I don't know, to this industry and to work in general. I love being able to meet just like wonderful people and kind, loving, hardworking, creative people. And that's exactly the people over there. So, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's a cool, cool feeling. And I can't believe I get to kind of be a part of it. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's awesome. We have loved the stuff that you have been in. And on top of that, like, I'm going through your Instagram and I'm checking out what you're doing, and you like, you can sing, you can play the piano, like you really can draw. Like, I was like, what can this girl not do? So music, I'm okay. Dance. All right. Perfect. All right. She has a flaw. Dance. Yeah. Okay.
but you can always learn.
That's true.
I don't know about that. That's what dancers say. You can probably dance, can't you?
I can dance, so I agree with you.
You can.
Rhea can dance.
Yeah.
I'm not the worst dancer. I'll say that.
Okay. You can dance. People who can dance are always like, you can learn. It's like, no, you don't understand. Yeah. My body just, I move awkwardly. Like it's just,
that's what Fran says to me all the time. She's like, I just can't do it.
It's just not in the books for me. I'm sorry. Like it's yeah. Sorry.
Well, I can't sing, and you certainly can sing. Is the music something that you would want to pursue it as kind of like in a music career type of way, or is the music kind of like a fun hobby sort of thing?
You know, as of now, it's more of a hobby because I am so kind of, busy with the acting side of everything. Music to me, though, it's a huge thing in my life. I mean, it's always been. I've been playing piano since I was really young. I quit lessons, though, like after like 4 or 5 years. So I don't actually like play. But I would love to eventually do music. I mean, that's definitely a dream of mine. I would love to do both. I mean, that to me is like the ultimate dream, but I also am just now, like I can act in front of people all day long, but for some reason, music for me is so much more daunting and scary. I don't know what it is. Like, I just get so nervous and I get so scared. So I would need to probably overcome that. But I think like, for now, I just write and I sing and I, it took a lot for me to even post on Instagram. It still takes a lot for me. That's why I don't do it too much. Like being completely honest here, like that's why, cause I get so insecure about it. And it's such like a close thing to my heart. I don't know. But eventually, I mean, I would love to, but I mean, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
If the opportunity presents itself, then yes. But right now, I mean, I'm really.
Yeah.
Deep into the acting side.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get a project from Netflix that will, maybe you'll do both. And I don't know if it's.
Maybe Bloom starts to sing.
Yeah. Maybe she gets a singing power. Who knows? Yeah, and also, not sure if it means a lot coming from Fran and I, but don't be insecure about it, because I'm sure if you post yourself singing, people are going to love it. You are an amazing singer. Don't be insecure. Just do it. And people are going to love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope it doesn't look like I'm like fishing for compliments. I don't know.
No, not at all. Definitely not at all. I understand, like, you know, when you want to do something and you're good at it, but you feel insecure about it. It's like everyone can relate to that feeling.
Music is so personal.
It is. It's like this emotional, especially if you're, I mean, and if you're writing your own stuff, or if you're like, it's a real, I don't know. I think that's what it is for me. Like, those are my heartstrings. And then I feel like I want to cry in the middle of a song. And then I'm like,
acting is like playing pretend, and music, especially your own song, is like your own self, your own person. So it's totally, they're kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Someone pointed that out to me too. They're like, that's probably what it is. But then I have friends who are musicians who are like, I can sing in front of people all day long. But then if you ever put me on a set having to act, I would like
freeze. Yeah.
Yeah. Like melt. And that's how I feel if I were to get on stage and sing in front of people. I don't know. I think I'll get over it one day. Probably. I don't know. I mean, yeah, exactly. If I were to do a film where I could sing, I feel like that would be the safest bet. Mm-hmm.
When the right role lands on your lap that has you singing, you'll be able to get up in front of everybody and do it. Yeah. To wrap up, I want to know if you have a favorite show on Netflix besides your own.
What if I said that? Myself
and I.
I respect it.
God.
I've been watching, is it on Netflix? Schitt's Creek?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a, is it a Netflix? I don't think that's a Netflix
version. It is a Netflix show.
It's not originally Netflix. It's not originally Netflix, but it is on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Schitt's Creek. So I had a dream about Schitt's Creek last night.
Yeah.
I just remembered that. Schitt's Creek
is it's a soft subject on this show. Fran and I, we both didn't understand it at first. We were like, I don't understand why everyone thinks it's so funny. Then Fran, she just totally blindsided me one day and was like, I love this show so much. I don't know what happened.
I gave it like a fourth chance. Yeah. And now everyone's always like, you got to get into the later seasons. Like, I swear. And I would be like, haha, okay. Then I finally did it and it actually is so
Yeah.
And so now earlier seasons, I was crying laughing at the first episode.
Season
dying.
Four is my favorite season.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten that far yet. So,
Abigail, just wait. Maybe you'll change your mind.
Okay. I mean, look, I don't really, it's bad. I don't really watch that much TV. I have a really short attention span. Like, I can sit for a second. I always feel like I have to be like doing something. So, like, sitting and watching TV for me is a lot. I did, though. Oh, when I had my two broken wrists, I had nothing that I could do. So I watched a lot of TV. Actually, I watched Unorthodox. That was so freaking good. Big Little Lies.
Oh, so good.
So good. That show was so good.
What? I know you asked me one. I'm like,
no, yeah. Don't worry. Fran and I watch so much TV
horrific amount.
We can't name one either. It's there's so many good shows, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, what was the other one that I
did? I don't mean to cut into your time, but Two Broken Wrists. What did you do?
Oh, you're good. But
yeah.
Well, I was dared to jump over a campfire and I did it. Okay, something just crashed outside of my window. Did you hear that?
I did. You jumping over the campfire and just replaying.
Sound effects. I was dared. My brother was there. He says that I wasn't dared. He says that I dared myself. I kind of did, but like, everyone was talking about the things that they could do. And I was like, well, I could jump over this campfire. Watch me. And they were like, no, maybe don't. I was like, no, watch. And so then I did. And then my brother like kept egging me on and was like, you didn't do it well enough. Try again, blah, blah, blah. So then I kept going and getting more, and I got more and more competitive. And then on my fifth time, I just ate it. Like after I landed.
Fifth time?
I did it
four times before and it wasn't good enough?
No, I guess not. Honestly, and that's the thing. It's like it was all my fault. All my fault. I own it. And honestly, like, it's a funny story because I would do that to myself. So, yeah, fifth time, unfortunately. I learned my lesson, though. I won't be doing that again. And then I had to get surgery on this one. And then I was in a brace on this one. And I literally...
You know what?
Well, that explains all the TV.
Good story, though.
Yeah.
It's my life is interesting. I get myself in really bad situations. It's just, it's been like this my whole life though. Like I'm always injured. It's fine.
It's the only fun way to live.
It is. It's life on the edge, you know? Sometimes it puts me in the hospital. Other times you have a great time.
Yeah.
And other times you become a fire fairy and there you go.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah. Oh man. Abigail, thank you so much for coming to talk to us. This was great. We absolutely love the show. And if you haven't watched it yet, you can watch it on Netflix, Fate the Wing Saga. Hopefully we get a season two. I know, you know, COVID delays a lot of things and a lot of decisions, but with the ending of season one, it would be an absolute travesty if
we
there
need
wasn't season two.
We need it.
Yes, definitely. So Abigail, thank you so much for talking to us and hopefully we talk again soon.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This was really fun.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope that you had a great week. We hope you had a fantastic weekend. Remember, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button so you can see more visuals of us and of Norman. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever you're listening, make sure you hit that subscribe button on there as well. We love you guys, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save.